The story is told of Queen Victoria, that she and her husband were close friends of the principal of St. Andrews University in Scotland, a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Tulloch. Well, the day came when Prince Albert, that is Queen Victoria's husband, died, and soon after, Principal Tulloch also died. The Queen heard that Mrs. Tulloch was also now a widow. And she went up to Scotland to see Mrs. Tulloch and arrived unannounced. And as Queen Victoria came into her home, Mrs. Tulloch got up and she wanted to curtsy and bow down before her queen. But Queen Victoria said, my dear, don't rise. I am not coming to you today as a queen to a subject, but as one woman who has lost her husband to another. I'm not coming to you today as your queen to a subject, but one woman who has lost her husband to another. That is what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ. He came not as a removed monarch, but as one of us. In his mercy, Jesus has shared in our own pain. And it is this attitude of divine mercy that is at the heart of this day, the kind of mercy that Queen Victoria showed on that day to her dear friend, Mrs. Tulloch. Mercy. We heard in that wonderful reading from 1 John, our faith overcomes the world. Now remember, our faith has an object, and it's not us. The object is our faith is Jesus Christ. And what St. John is saying is Jesus has overcome the world. And he testified to that by his water, by the blood that poured forth from his side, that has resulted in baptism, has resulted in the Holy Eucharist, has resulted in this community that is called the community of mercy. For that is what the church is called to be. We are to be in this world that community that is known by the quality of mercy. St. John Paul II had a particular way of talking about mercy. He called it the law of the gift. The law of the gift. Let me tell you a story that illustrates this law. It was the year 2012, Staten Island. Clara and her grandson Michael had just been to Holy Mass at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish on Staten Island. And as they were going home, there was a car barreling down the street, and 8-year-old Michael was caught in the crosshairs of this car. Clara pushed Michael out of the way and took the full impact of the car and died instantly. Cardinal Dolan, the Archbishop of New York City, had the privilege to meet with Clara's family afterwards, and he heard repeatedly stories of how Clara was a woman who always gave herself to others, and the way in which she ended her life that night on which the church celebrates the institution of the Eucharist, the institution of that meal of mercy, that Clara embodied in her life what it was to be one who is filled with mercy, one who lived out the law of the gift. This is how St. John Paul II succinctly states this law. We are at our best. We are most fully alive and human when we give ourselves away freely and sacrificially. We give ourselves in love for another. Now, if you heard that reading from the Acts of the Apostles, what do we hear about the early church? They practiced the law of the gift. They laid down their possessions for one another. They lived lives of generosity. And we're told that the power of the resurrection message went forward with a profound conviction. Why? Because they were living their communal life in a way that reflected the one who was their Lord. They lived according to the law of the gift. And we have to understand this reality, that our message will have no validity. Our message will fall on deaf ears unless we are learning to live mercifully in keeping with the law of the gift. Jesus talked about the law of the gift this way in John 15. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And one of the reasons why God has put us into families, why God has given us husbands, wives, children, grandchildren, is here more than anywhere else, we have to learn to practice the law of the gift. Let me restate it one more time, a little bit differently. The more you give yourself away, the more your being increases. The more you cling to your being, the more your being decreases. This is a spiritual law. The more we give our being the way, the more alive we become. And at the very heart of today's gospel is this understanding where Jesus says, my beloved community of apostles, as the Father sent me, so I send you. The Father sent me to show the way of mercy through the sacrament of confession. And here's what's so beautiful about this sacrament. When we come to confession, we're actually often saying, I'm aware of ways I'm not living the law of the gift. I'm not giving my being away. I'm holding on to myself. But there's something that happens to people who come to Jesus through confession. They're opening up their hearts. They're saying, I don't want to be like this. I want to be converted. I want to more deeply live a life where the law of the gift, the law of mercy, is embodied in my life. And so Jesus has left us this beautiful sacrament. And he has empowered his priests to pronounce his absolution. But the sacrament of confession has to be joined to the sacrament of his very body and blood. Remember what John says, the water and the blood that come forth from his side? Well, here in the Eucharist, we see that happen. And as Thomas was given the opportunity to do what? To touch Jesus' wounds, he was touching Jesus' body. And he was invited to come to that point of saying, no longer be doubting, but believe. And this is at the heart of what Jesus was wanting Thomas to appreciate. Do you see my wounds? Do you see the wound in my side, Thomas? Do you see the wounds in my hands? I am the resurrected Christ. But I think it's amazing that his wounds do not disappear. They could have, couldn't they? After all, he has a resurrected body now. But they don't. Because it's only as we touch the wounds of the Savior that we understand the depths of his mercy. And it is this very thing that Thomas is able to do. He goes from being a skeptic of the resurrection to being the first apostle to state a creed. You are my Lord. You are my God. It's one thing to call Jesus God. It's another thing to say that he is my Lord. For when we call Jesus my Lord, we are also saying that now, Jesus, I want my life to be conformed more and more to your life. And I know how hard it is in my own life to live mercifully. I know how hard it is to truly live out the law of the gift, to lay down my life for others. But at the very heart of our Catholic faith, we emphasize this. A couple of years ago, Pope Francis wrote a letter called The Joy of the Gospel. And in this letter, he speaks about the quality of mercy that is to be at the heart of the community of mercy. And this is what the Holy Father wrote. Let us try a little harder to take the first step and to become involved. Becoming involved is really hard. Because when we become involved, we become vulnerable. And when we become involved, it's easy to get hurt. So it's way easier to stay uninvolved. C.S. Lewis said it this way, if you never want to be hurt, don't even love a dog or a cat. Live your life in complete isolation. Then you won't be involved, you won't be hurt, but you'll be living a life that is actually dead. So our Holy Father says, take the first step to become involved. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. The Lord gets involved and he involves his own as he kneels to wash their feet. He tells his disciples, you will be blessed if you do this. And our Holy Father says, a merciful community gets involved by word and deed in people's daily lives. It bridges distances. It is willing to abase itself if necessary, and it embraces human life, touching the suffering flesh of Christ in others. This is one of the beautiful things about St. Peter's. This is a community that gets involved. And it's risky. It's messy. It would be much easier if we had less going on. We'd get less hurt. But we wouldn't be alive. And so to be the kind of community that we're called to be this community of mercy where we celebrate the fact that from the cross, the ocean of God's love gushed forth for souls, is why Pope St. John Paul II, back in 2002, canonized Sister Mary Faustina Kowalska. And in his homily on that day, the Holy Father said these words, "It is not easy to love with a deep love." Didn't he know that? The Pope who knew Nazism, the Pope who knew communism, the Pope who knew what it is to live in a world of suspicion, said it is not easy to love with a deep love, which lies in the authentic gift of self. This love can only be learned by penetrating the mystery of God's love. And that's why having the shroud here is such a gift, because this is a way we penetrate the mystery of the love of Jesus Christ. John Paul says, looking at Jesus, being one with his fatherly heart, we can look with new eyes at our brothers and sisters with an attitude of unselfishness and solidarity, of generosity and forgiveness. All this is mercy. Unselfishness, solidarity, generosity, forgiveness. This is mercy. And this, beloved St. Peter's family, characterizes and is to characterize how we live in our families, how we live in our church, how we live in our world. But such mercy is only possible when mercy has been extended to us in the sacrament of reconciliation. Such mercy can only take hold of our hearts when we have taken hold of the heart of Jesus in the sacrament of the Eucharist. But when this happens, then we become more like Grandma Clara. We become more like Queen Victoria, that we're learning to exhibit and embody the law of the gift. Those who, with St. Thomas, are learning to say the creed, "My Lord and my God," are learning to live mercifully each and every day.